Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattell. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Hi, guys. I'm back. It's just me today, so I hope everyone is super excited because I love having guests and I love talking about a lot of things, but I also like to talk about organizing and my life sometimes, and I do have some things I wanted to talk about. One of them being an update on my last name. And I know this started when, if you've been my number one subscriber, you would know that Valentine's Day, I told David I was finally going to change my last name. Then I went to the Social Security office. I thought it was going to be like the most dreadful thing in the world. It was so great. What is the most dreadful thing in the world is the DMV. And I had several hiccups from like March. And officially yesterday, I got my brand new ID that says Jennifer Sattell. So there's applause and clapping in my head, but David was really excited. I was really excited. And I mean, the picture was not good. I'm not going to lie. It is. I wish I had my other picture, which also wasn't good. And they don't even tell you that they're going to flash like this LED light. She didn't even tell me. So then I said, whoa, was that good? And she goes, hold on. And then she looked at it and she goes, let's do another one. You looked really surprised. And this one wasn't, I can only imagine it was not much better. So that is my update on my name, which I'm actually very excited. Now I have to do the task of like changing all this stuff you have, but at least now I have documentation of my new last name. I mean, we've been married for 7 years and we've been together for almost 13. So right on top of it. Another thing I want to talk about is I think I've mentioned a couple times I joined this networking group, which is fantastic. Great way to, you know, meet new people, help people with their businesses, and in turn help me with my business, and just learn about different things. I love to always learn about and meet new people and talk about what they do and their passions. And that's why I also like to have people on the show. And randomly, one of the women, she had gotten this like terrible accident on a horse a couple, like let's say a month ago, I guess. And it's right now they're in the middle of changing their, you know, president, vice president. And I've been in this group like 2 months, really like 2 months. And they kind of asked me if I would just be the VP. And I have no idea what I'm doing. But today was my first day being VP. And I felt very empowered by it. I got to talk more than the 1 minute they give you to talk and tell everybody about your business, because I do love to talk, as you guys all know, and that's why I'm sitting here telling you all the things in my life that just happen, and they're funny and sometimes they're not. But being the VP, I'm actually excited about, but just I felt very empowered while sitting there. So that was today, my first day of Until She Comes Back, which I think is in about 6 months. So I might be in it for 6 months. I mean, who even knows? Everybody, a lot of times I talk about Charlotte. I talk about motherhood. I talk about things that, you know, they don't tell you about. I mean, I was not one of those people when I was pregnant. I did not read all the books. I didn't read all the books. I was a little bit older. I had been around kids. I feel like I kind of knew how to keep them alive. What I don't know how to do is some of the day-to-day stuff, like, you know, things that we've talked about, like a little bit of bullying or, you know, meltdowns that you're not quite sure how to handle. This year, and I think I've mentioned this before, is Charlotte has, she really does not like change. And, you know, a lot of people don't, and a lot of kids don't. They get comfortable with what they're doing, teachers, their friends. And when anything kind of shifts, it is a little bit challenging. And that's one of the things that I like to talk about with you guys, because I know I'm not alone here. And I know that you just want to fix everything. And I know that I do. David and I have also talked about together on the show that, you know, we're a good balance. He sometimes has to put his, you know, a little bit sterner dad pants on. And we've been really struggling with the homework and how she acts about the homework. And I emailed the teacher. So I originally was just going by what Charlotte was saying. There is a lot of homework. She got a teacher that she had heard was hard. But I told her, you know, you have to give her a chance. You don't know her. You're going by what somebody told you. And you like something somebody else might not like that same thing. And that's part of what makes you you. But the homework is a lot. I mean, it really jumped. It went from, you know, a little bit to a lot of bit. And in a quick amount of time. I mean, we just finished September. She's been in school about this is like her seventh week, I think, or eighth week. That's been really challenging. And so last week I was like, I'm going to just talk to the teacher. I'm going to send her an email because I don't want to be that parent. I really try not to be that parent. I'm not judging parents who want to be, you know, ahead of everything. And I just try to see how it goes. And sometimes something that's so important one day might not be that important the next day. And I don't want to, you know, cause a fire drill for a teacher or, you know, call her out. But what I did ask was, you know, is Charlotte allowed to ask you questions maybe outside of class? Or is Charlotte allowed to, and I gave her a specific scenario of she didn't understand a math problem. And then she said she didn't understand any more of them. The teacher helped with the math problem in the class as a class collectively. Charlotte still didn't understand it. And then she had to turn in this math packet, which three of the pages were blank. So Charlotte was very upset about that because she's like, I didn't get to finish it. And she, you know, and also she's learning the writing. And you guys remember this when you were learning to write, or maybe not, but she erases everything because she wants everything to be perfect. And now they're focused solely on cursive. They're all about cursive. Every Bible verse, everything, her spelling words, everything has to be written in cursive. And it is a little more challenging. You know, we just really don't use it that often. The only time I ever use it is if I'm signing my name on a, you know, receipt for food or something. So it just is a process. And so I asked the teacher and she's like, of course, you know, please like keep communicating. Cause I'm like, this is what I'm telling her. I was very nice and I just wanted to know if she could go and talk to the teacher after class. So she said, yeah, you know, she can come on Tuesdays and Thursdays right after lunch. Okay, great. So I told Charlotte that. And yesterday, I said, did you get to stay with your teacher? Did you go after lunch and talk to her? She's like, well, I went in the classroom and just finished some of my work that I didn't finish. I'm like, well, did you ask her any questions? No, I forgot. I'm like, okay, so you can go in and finish the work, but you also, this is your opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with her. And if you don't have any questions today, that's okay. But Charlotte's default right now is she also has a tutor. And Linda, if you're listening, because I know you do, this, you're amazing. You know this. I mean, honestly, she's so amazing. She's a retired teacher and coincidentally a fourth grade teacher. But she has the patience. She's funny. She's sweet. And we really love her, but every single thing Charlotte's like, well, I'll just talk to Linda. And I'm like, yeah, but we don't see Linda 24/7. And we also, you know, Linda costs money and we already pay money for private schools. So I'd like to also, you know, have questions asked to the teacher. So it's been really challenging for me because I go back to my mom and I'll ask her, Did I ever do this? You know, things that Charlotte does. Did I ever act like this? Did I ever have meltdowns? I mean, Charlotte just has meltdowns about everything. She's just like, I'm so stressed out, mommy. There's so much stuff to, you know, do. But at the same time, she also wants to do all of the stuff, all of the extracurricular stuff. And so now I'm kind of on this thing where I'm like, maybe I just stop signing her up for stuff until we get the homework in line. So if you guys have any feedback on what to do, please let me know, because some days I'm like, I need a drink. And as most of you know, I don't drink by myself, but man, I got to tell you, when we're doing homework, I definitely could see myself having a drink. So that has been kind of challenging for us. David is not there for a lot of it. So last night there was a little bit of a tension between me and Charlotte on doing some spelling stuff. And he comes in and he sits down and he's just like smiling like, oh, you guys are so cute. But in the meantime, 5 minutes ago, I'm like, you are kind of being a brat to me right now. And I want to be like, David, take over. So we have to also find our balance, because he's a little bit different than I am, obviously. That's why we work. That's why we balance each other out. I don't always agree with how he handles things, but that's fine. I'm sure he doesn't agree how I handle things. You know, no one wants that. So if any of you guys are going through this, or you know, and it probably doesn't get any much easier, because as you know, every year, I mean, shit, every year there's more homework and it's harder and you're learning new things. So I can only imagine I'm going to have no hair by the time she's in like sixth grade, because this last year and this year, I kind of want to poke my eyes out. I'm not going to tell a lie. Another thing that everyone knows is we have rescued four dogs. We have four dogs. They're not big dogs. Our biggest dog is about 24 pounds, maybe. We just love dogs. And when we win the lottery, we are going to buy a huge house and just try to save all the animals. And it includes animals in general. I just say dogs because, you know, they're a little bit easier for, I'm not going to, you know, rescue a donkey in my backyard in Chatsworth. So let's just keep that in mind. But Charlotte's, she keeps asking me, Mommy, I think we should get another puppy. And I'm like, we can't. Daddy said no. And she's like, I'm going to ask him. I'm like, okay, ask him. So then she's like, I'm scared to ask him. I'm like, he's going to say no. And so she's like, Mommy, I keep seeing all these puppies. I decide this day she wants a certain kind of puppy. I want to, you know, whatever. I can't even remember. Every day she's asking me, do you think you can ask Daddy? No, he already said no to me. So you try, because you're so cute and you have your cute little eyes. And we have no room for four dogs, let alone any more dogs. Plus, we don't. We rent a house. So let me just also say that. And it's, you know, it's not on an acre of land. So we can't have any more puppies. But I just laugh because she'll be like, you ask him. And I'm like, you ask him. You're cuter. And it's just hilarious because we all say the same thing. And when we get a bigger house, or when we move to a place that has more land, we will rescue all the animals that we can, including bunnies. She wants bunnies. She wants a hamster. She wants kitties like crazy. And David and I right now are like, no, because I hate cat litter. I don't mind cats. I don't like the cat litter. And we have four dogs, and that's just too many. We're going to be like Dr. Doolittle. It's just too much. So on that note, I want to say that's my update on my life and things that I love to talk about, and just tell you and see if you guys relate. I mean, it's hard because we are doing this every day. Adulting sucks. Some days it sucks. When you grow up, you can do this, this, and this. Yeah, but it's not as easy as it sounds. And there's some days where, you know, you just take a deep breath and you go, I got this. And, you know, I hope that I am the best wife and the best mom and the best daughter and all the things I can be. And I'm sure we all feel that way. And some days you just, you know, hit a wall and say, all right, maybe today wasn't my best day. So the schoolwork with Charlotte has definitely tested my patience. I am not a patient person, yet I organize. And it's funny because I can sit and go through an entire playroom and dissect it and sit, and I have music on and I'm listening, you know, in my AirPods, and I'm doing it, and I'll look down and it'll been 4 hours and I'm going through this tedious stuff. But if something doesn't happen in 5 seconds, or the street light is taking too long to turn green, I'm like freaking out. It's very interesting how that works. And with the organizing part being said, I want to talk about a couple things that in my world of organizing clients' homes or offices or whatever they need. Right now I'm in the process of doing three different pretty big projects. I call them purge and packs. It's really just packing up someone's house they're moving. Sometimes they're moving out of state, but in this case, they're all local. They're moving, you know, maybe a city over, maybe a couple streets down, whatever, whatever. So it's also very interesting is I try to provide, I provide a lot of tips. A lot of people, when they reach out to me and they want to do like a consultation, the things that they ask me are, can you come? Some people really want me to come and do a consultation in person. They want me to see, they're embarrassed, or they think that it's like the worst I've ever seen. I've seen some pretty bad homes, you guys, and it doesn't faze me. I just go in and I just think of a solution. Like, how can I help them get, you know, back on track? It's not always that easy because if there is pushback from, you know, a client or, you know, they want to do it at their own pace, which again is fine, but sometimes we're on a deadline. But one of the things with purge and pack, and I say it on the front end, a purge and a pack. The idea is that it makes more sense unless you had a fire drill, God forbid something happened, and you literally had to run out of your house or get out of your place in like a day or two, and you're really just throwing shit in boxes. You know what I mean? Like something, you know, I can't even think of what would be so terrible that you'd have to do that. But for the most part, you usually have like a month, right? You maybe gave somebody's moving out and you're renting and you have a month in between or whatever it is. You're not just doing it in a day or two. And if you have an extra set of hands, which is what I pride myself on saying is it's just having that extra set of hands that we all need. And everybody needs it. Everybody does, including myself. Yes, my house is organized. Is it 100%? Not every day. I do like to have, you know, somebody come in and maybe do like a deep clean. We all need extra set of hands for the areas that maybe we're not the strongest in. So when I do a purge and pack, I try to tell people, like, here's the thing. Let's purge before we are packing this shit. And by shit, I absolutely mean treasures. You know this. But the thing that's interesting to me is I'll tell them, if we don't do this, it doesn't matter if you're moving cross country. Cross country is a little bit different because you're paying. When you do local, typically it's like hourly, like, oh, this is only 6 miles away. They're going to do it in, you know, 4 hours, whatever. There's a fee they give you. But when you're driving cross country and maybe they're putting their stuff on a truck or whatever that looks like, you know, you pay for that weight of stuff. And there's some stuff that is absolute garbage that you don't even know existed. And somebody will say to me like, oh, let's just throw everything in boxes. And I'm like, first of all, I don't like the word cram, shove or throw in terms of what I do, because I feel like that's the way our minds are, right? It's filled with that kind of stuff. And sometimes the clarity that we need to get stuff done isn't there because we're thinking about 50 million other things. And that's what it's like in a box like that to me. And I have, you know, several clients that are, you know, they all have their own, they beat to their own drum, and that's okay. I work with how you are, what works for you. But I do try to offer suggestions that make it, you know, easier, because if you're purging stuff and now I've packed it for you and it's in an organized fashion and everything is for what it is, bathroom to bathroom, it makes sense, right? Kitchen to kitchen, you know, you always have a couple boxes near the end that are just shit boxes. It's like everything you needed up until that last minute. So you might have like a coffee maker, you know, a roll of toilet paper, whatever. But some of this, like, it saves you money and it saves time and it saves the ease of mind. And I have a client right now who she's just down to throwing everything in boxes. And I've helped her before with a move of about 3 or 4 years ago. And I just laugh because it's like you're making it triple work. And I want to help, but it's just to give you suggestions that kind of give you peace of mind. So if I'm not there, because, you know, again, I cost money. Some people don't have the budget to have me all the time. You can do it on your own, and, you know, kitchen to kitchen, but you know what I mean? But here I am opening a box that's like one shoe, one pan, you know, an old rag, maybe a pair of earrings. Then it's like, you know, a book. And half of that's crap. It's, you know, it's just crap. And I'm like, you're carrying this. We're wasting time even looking at this. So not only was it touched to be packed, now it's touched to be unpacked. And at the end of the day, 9 times out of 10, they get a trash bag and they're throwing, why did I even pack this crap? So it's like, it is one of those things where I really try to offer solutions that aren't just put a label on it. It's no, let me make this smart. And I try, but with this one, she just does not even want to listen. And I've even said to her, you and I both know that you're not going to go through this later. You're not. And then when I went to her house yesterday and I was talking to her on the phone, and she's like, don't throw anything away unless it's truly trash. Like, I just go through people's houses and throw stuff away. I don't. But if it's trash, or if it's expired, or it's leaking, or it's rotten, then I'm going to throw it away. But I'm unpacking these boxes yesterday that some of them took me double the time, because it was like, where's, and then I'm like trying to find like books. It's like two books. Well, I know you have 500,000 more books, so I can't really do anything with those. And then I end up leaving piles because I'm trying to get everything together. So it's just trying to be like a helpful suggestion, because not everybody has, you know, the luxury of having someone help them do a purge and pack, or even just pack up their house. So when you're doing it, just really try to be mindful of, what's it going to look like when you're unpacking? And that's always the stressful thing too, because especially if you have kids and you always want to make sure like the kitchen's set up and like the bedrooms are set up for when you have kids, right? So they have somewhere to sleep, or at least one bed is set up, something. And you're digging through these boxes looking for, you know, bathroom stuff, toothpaste or toothbrushes and all that, and you can't find anything because it's just thrown in boxes. And that's something that I've been doing a lot of those lately, and it's just, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has their, what works for them. But a lot of times those boxes reflect upon what's going on in your brain. And it's like, I'm trying to make things easier. And I do make things easier for you. Like you will have peace of mind, with, you know, the systems that I create. I've mentioned this before, everything always has a place. You will always have a place. If I'm unpacking something, or if I'm just going to organize your house, all those piles that are on the counters or the dining room table, or wherever you throw your mail or your shit or whatever, there's always going to be a place for it. It's just a matter of if you keep up with it. Another thing too is, and I noticed this yesterday, and I noticed things in people's homes. I've also researched and done my own due diligence on kind of finding out patterns. But I have clients that have little kids, or just kids in general, let's say from the ages of like, you know, up to about 14, 15. And like, I went in and the trash is all over the floor in the den. They're empty drinks, you know, and they're teenagers, younger teenagers, but they're still teenagers. And then I walk in the house and walk in the kitchen, and I see the same thing in there. So it's like, where are you getting these behaviors from? Well, it's because of what you do. And one of the things I try to say is, we got to break the cycle for your kids. If they see you throwing trash or leaving trash on the counter or not putting your clothes away, where do you think they're getting that from? So it's like, I really try to create some systems and just kind of put the bug in your ear, like, hey, you may be a lost cause in terms of how you do stuff, how you put your laundry away, I have houses that I go to, you guys, I can't even say, I've seen where there's like 14 laundry baskets of clothes to be put away. I've seen it where there's 22 black trash bags of laundry that needs to be done because they don't have enough stuff to, they don't have enough washing machine space to do the laundry that fast. So they just put them in bags. They don't have enough laundry baskets. So one of the things I say when you have a situation like that is, that's the time you go to a laundromat. You take a 10, you know, you go at 10 a.m. after you drop off your kids, you bring all that stuff, you bring your book, you bring your AirPods, whatever you want to do, and line up 7 or 8 machines and just get that shit caught up. Because half those clothes, it's been like 3, 4, some people had clothes from like 6 months ago, don't even fit in them. The kids don't even fit in those clothes anymore. And here you are washing them and spending the money. So it's like, you should wash your clothes, obviously, but that gets to be a lot of chaos. And and then what do you do when you have so much laundry? I have clients that will just go and buy stuff because they haven't done the laundry. And I'm like, oh my God, like, your kid doesn't have any socks. Well, I'll just go get some. It's like, or go to the laundromat and try to knock it out and get back on track here. So there's so many different things that I see, and there's so many things I try to help you with, because, you know, it's a lot and it gets away from us. And I mean, even me, it's just me and David and Charlotte in the house. I mean, some days I'll do 4 loads of laundry if you include, you know, whatever. And imagine having a house of 5 or 6. I mean, I can only imagine the laundry there. You also have, you know, clients that are doctors. They come home and they're scrubs and, you know, they have to keep on track. Maybe they only have 10 pairs of scrubs. So, you know, you have to do it every 2 weeks. It's just things like that, that I try to help make your life a little easier. And sometimes, you know, most people try to listen or think they listen. And, you know, I'm not changing lives here, but I do try to give you systems that work for you, not for me. There are things that I know I wouldn't do. So a lot of times I'll say to you, if you have all of your kitchen appliances that you don't really use all the time, or your kitchen tools, like let's say, remember Instapot was like a big thing. I never used an Instapot. It had way too many buttons and it scared me. I'm more of like a crock pot, like two button kind of person. But they would keep it in the box above the stove, pushed to the back. And every time they needed it, they had to get it out of the box, take it, wash it, then put it back in the box and close it up. I'm like, why do you keep the box? I would never get that because it was in a box. That's how I am. I'd be like, ugh, it's in the box. Never mind. I won't use that today. So I just try to do different things that make it easier for you. And again, not everything is going to work the way I want it to. And that's okay. I want it to work for you, but you got to make it make sense. And a lot of this chaos, and I learned, and this is, you know, a little over my ninth year of being involved in people's personal life, personal space. You know, I've seen things that, you know, I probably can't talk about on podcasts that are maybe a little more, you know, not something they probably wanted me to find, or, you know, rooms that have secret stashes of stuff. It's fine. I don't care. Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show. Okay, one of the things that I have picked up on in my time going into people's homes in their personal lives and talking to them, I talk to them, ask them, you know, I make it a conversation, but I'm also finding out some of their, you know, behaviors and stuff is, you know, they're so overwhelmed. And I cannot say this enough. There are certain words that we hear all the time: overwhelmed, anxious, you know, other catchphrases, but those are, you know, things that we say, we hear it, mental health, but it really is something that affects you. And when you're in a hamster wheel every single day, and a lot of these clients that I have are super busy clients, they work, maybe the husband works, you know, 80 hours a week, and the mom works, and then, you know, you have kids and this and that, and you have sports events, you have all this stuff. There's so many things going on. And one of the last things you're going to do is think about organizing your pantry, right? What are we going to do? We're going to bring our groceries home and we're going to shove it in there. And then you don't notice what you have. And it's a constant catch 22, because you're like, I don't have, you know, oh, we're out of this, we're out of this. And if you really looked in the pantry, or you really looked in that cupboard or in the sock drawer or in those things you didn't put away, you'll see that you have them. And now you're spending all this money. Or the worst thing I hate seeing, I mean, I love doing kitchens and I love cleaning out pantries and like getting the kitchen set up. You know how much food I throw away for people because it's expired? And I mean, these people are not getting their food at the dollar store. You know what I mean? So it's like you're throwing away all of this money because maybe you didn't even know you had it. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, and things are so expensive now. And it doesn't matter if you're a billionaire or a dollaraire. I don't know if that's a word, but it sounded funny in my head. If you are any of those things, you're still throwing away money. You know, my mom used to always be like, you're going to take $20 and just roll down the window and throw it out the window. Well, that $20 now is like $200. I mean, I had a client a couple weeks ago. I got rid of 8 trash bags of pantry food that was expired, or maybe like it was down to nothing. Maybe it was empty, but for the most part, it was 8 trash bags. You know that stuff is not cheap and food is not cheap. And there's people that don't even have that. And it's just, you know, you get in that system, but that's also chaos in your head. Paperwork, we all know that's chaos in your head. You get frustrated because of laundry. You get frustrated because of your kids' rooms, right? You can't even walk in their room because, right, they're not going to sit there and make labels and do all that. I do see some kids. I have a couple clients with like 10, 11-year-old girls. It's usually the girls, but not always. And they're so organized. They're so organized. For being an 11-year-old person, it is amazing how organized they are. And it actually kind of makes me laugh. I'm like, oh, And then the other sibling, it's like a bomb went off every day. Grenades were launched and just someone got like the biggest dumpster of clean clothes, threw them up in the air, and then they landed and they were like, we don't even know if they're clean or dirty now. But it's just chaos in your head. It's chaos in your mind. And it's also, it's always a to-do. And you'll never be, you know, everything isn't going to be perfect every single day. But if you kind of, if I can help you kind of get a grip on the day-to-day stuff, and then you know that there's a place for things, you know, and some people labels help, that type of thing. And I know some of this is on auto repeat and I keep saying it, but it is so important. Your mental health is very important because sometimes it is just clutter in your head and you can be using that for, you know, many other things. If, you know, figuring out life, time with your kids. I mean, you know, somebody will say to me, I don't even know where to start. And sometimes I'll do like a drawer and it takes me 3 hours because I'm putting all the stuff away. And now I wasn't able to do X, Y, Z. Well, X, Y, Z was super important. It was something you had to do. The drawer was just something most people would do, you know, in 20, 30 minutes, right? But, you know, other people don't think that way. So it's like, let's make the most of my time helping you. And, you know, there is no judgment. I just really, really try to make it so it relates to who's listening to the podcast right now. We all know that we have moments where our house looks like a shit storm. We know that, you know, you close that closet door so no one, or, you know, that bedroom door, that extra bedroom door, if you have company over because you don't want anyone to see it. But if you had systems and if you had somebody that can kind of guide you, it does make your life a little bit easier. Not everything has to be, you know, expensive bins and, you know, labels. Yes, that helps with certain areas, bathrooms and kitchens and stuff. But it's just a matter of just knowing where everything goes and also not keeping the stuff that you really, truly don't, you don't need. I have a client, she's so amazing, but she struggles with, I feel like a lot of people have ADHD and it's not a thing that I'm just diagnosing. I just know the patterns and I see it a lot. She has it. And she actually said to me a couple weeks ago when I was helping her, she's like, you know, I think I might be getting ADHD or maybe I've had it this whole time. And I was like, you know, I'm kind of like, well, yeah, you know, sometimes I lose you. She has to double and triple check every single thing 50 times before it's, she doesn't really like to get rid of stuff. And if she does, she has to triple check it 5,000 times before she makes the commitment to get rid of it. There's these groups on Facebook that are fantastic. As you know, I've talked about the mommy groups. That's how I really got my business started. So I'll never say there's some great information on there. People ask really good questions, especially if you're a newer mom or a mom that's just like, what the fuck? I don't know what to do. Let me reach out to my, you know, to my mom force and see if they can help me. But there's these really great groups. You know, there's like buy sell groups. I mean, some moms stay home and they try to resell stuff as like a little side hustle, but there's also these buy nothing groups and they're amazing, right? They're amazing. If you need something for like, oh gosh, I just need this for like, you know, you see somebody has like pair of snow boots and they're your kid's size. You're like, yeah, we may go to the snow once. Do I want to spend $50 or it's a buy nothing and they're just giving them away? Yeah, I might take those, you know. But sometimes it creates more work for you as a person to post it, take pictures, how many people flake on it. You've put it outside or you stayed home to give it to them because maybe you lived in an apartment and they couldn't get access to just picking it up. And then now you've created more work for yourself. And so one of the things I try to do when I am, you know, if I know we're doing a big purge, I will schedule a donation to come and take that for you just so you don't even have to worry about it. Or if I can take it in my car and it fits, if it's, you know, not too much and I actually can see when I'm driving, I'll drop it off for you and get you your receipt and everything. And that's all great because I just know it's one more thing on the list of to-dos. And it just, hopefully it's just peace of mind. If we need dumpsters, I help you get those things because a lot of times it's like, oh, there's so much trash. I don't know what to do. Okay. So we have to like talk about it for 9 hours. And I'm like, if it's going to be a lot, let's get a dumpster. Or sometimes people's neighbors are really grateful. Maybe they don't have the money to get the dumpster, but their neighbors are really nice. Maybe they don't have as much recycle stuff or whatever it is. But I just try to make your life a little bit easier because buy nothing groups are great. But again, if your wheelhouse can't be, kind of off the beaten path, you have to remember, is this going to cause me one more thing to do? Because so many people will be like, I have to post all this. I have to sell all this. And sometimes just think about what you're selling. If it's a $5 item and it's taking you an hour to do the post, like, I don't think that's going to change your life. And maybe you just donate it. Making things easier for you. It's funny, is there was this meme I saw. I actually saved it because it made me laugh so much. It was like a husband standing in the rain in like a parking lot, and the caption was, "I'm here in the rain selling." Wait, my wife posted our toaster, our used toaster on sale for $4. And I'm in here standing in the rain, not knowing if I'm going to get murdered in this parking lot or something. And it was funny because I'm like, that's what you have to kind of, you know, gauge your time on too. As much as it's great to give and buy nothing could be very simple in some areas, but a lot of people are flaky. It sounds good to get, but it's the picking up and stuff. So those are just little like tricks and stuff that I like to give people, because just make it easier for you. Or if I can make it easier while I'm there helping you, I will absolutely do that. I don't have a problem doing that. Some other things that I want to talk about, as I was mentioning about laundry, and I've talked about laundry rooms. I think we've talked about closets. We've talked about, you know, all these things. But one thing I want to say about laundry rooms is, some people have the luxury of having these actual like giant rooms, right? Where it's like you have the counter over covering the dryer and the washer, so you actually could fold your clothes there. There's cabinets. There's all of these things, but it also becomes a catch-all. One of the things about laundry rooms that I think is unfortunate with this look of these cabinets is most people have like the front-loading big washing machines and dryers. And that is wonderful, right? I personally am not a fan of the front-loading washing machine because I feel like it always smells like a bag of farts or sour milk. I don't know which one is worse, but that's what it smells like. And I know you're supposed to leave the door open. But the thing is, those cabinets are above, and those machines are fairly tall. Those cabinets are, you know, above those. Some people are not going to get out a stepladder to get the stuff down off of those cabinets. Now, maybe you will, maybe I'm wrong, but most of the time I see that all the shit just sits on the top. Even like the detergent and all of that stuff is sitting on the hot washing machine, hot dryer. And then sometimes it leaks because the plastic starts to melt and now it becomes a mess. So there's some solutions there that I try to help with on these systems. And most people, like my washing machine and dryer is in a garage. There is a cabinet above it that was there when we rented the house. I can reach it. I can't reach the top, so none of that stuff ever gets touched. Do I get a stepladder? I do not. I do not get a stepladder. I do ask my husband to get it down for me if I do need something that's really important. But those type of things, like sometimes it's just creates more of a mess. And then you have all this stuff. You're like, I didn't even know I had this. Or you have like 10,000 of those, like, what are those rags from Costco where it's like a pack of 9,000 for like $4? I want to say they're like micro cloths or something. Anyways, those are like a pack of 10,000. Well, they put them on the top shelf of those cabinets in a laundry room. Well, no one's getting those ever. So you'll just have a pile of those like on the floor or on the counter. And just those are things that it's like sometimes we just have to be smart with the space that we have, and maybe we get you an alternative to having put stuff in the cabinet that maybe like light bulbs, you're not using those all the time, or like backup cleaners or that type of thing. But the stuff you use every day, a different solution. Another thing I see a lot, and I'm just kind of randomly going through a house in my head right now, is hall closets. I remember as a kid, a hall closet was, first of all, it was just a closet. It was like one hang bar, maybe a shelf if you were lucky, and you just put your coats in there. And I don't even remember it being like 10,000 coats. I remember just like everybody had like two coats, you put them in there. You know, we live in an area that, you know, California, I feel like everyone, you know, with their coats, it's like you can have one or two coats. Most people can just use like a zip-up hoodie or a hoodie and wear a t-shirt underneath and they're good. And then the hang bar and then the shelf on top. And maybe you had like your vacuum in there. You know, there could have been a couple of different options. But now I see these coat closets literally because I have noticed too, more people, and I know it is also a cultural thing, so I'm not, but most houses I go to, more people have shoes in the front entryway. They take off their shoes when they walk into a house, but they don't have just like a pair, or everybody has like two pairs of like slip-on easy shoes. I'm talking like if you have 100 pairs of shoes, those 100 pairs of shoes are in the front room or thrown in a closet. It's like, how are you, because you don't want this, right? You don't want to have shoes in the closet with your clothes, but now you just have them piled on the floor in your entryway or maybe in the hall closet. And then it's just a pile as high as you can go of just shoes. You don't even know where the match is. Like, so you're not wearing those. And coats in the closet, I've seen it. I packed this client's hall closet. Hers was a little bit bigger than average. It was like 1.5 size, but it was just one hang bar, one shelf. There were 4 large boxes that I packed of coats, just coats. We live in Southern California. We can have a bin of seasonal coats, like maybe when you go to the snow. Maybe you have your thicker, you know, a little bit more snowy, wintry coats in there and you put it maybe on the shelf or maybe you put it in the ground. They don't all need to be hanging there. There was probably at least 75 different variations of coats. I'm like, there's no way you're wearing these. Well, I'll deal with it later. You want me to pack those? Yes. Okay. You're not wearing all this stuff. I know you're not, but you know what? It's not my decision, but I do try to guide you, as I say, because sometimes you're going in the closet, you're opening up, you see 75 coats. I mean, you're just like, I don't even care. I didn't even know I had these and I don't even care. And I wear the same one every time. So why are we taking up that space? And then now the shoes are up, like the vacuum's in the kitchen because there's no space for the vacuum or the garage maybe. So it's like these hall closets has almost become an extension of a regular closet, but it's like right at your entryway and it's just a lot. And sometimes a hall closet has taken me longer than it has to do a kitchen because there's so much random shit in there. Like wrapping paper, they don't even wrap presents anymore. Like old, you know, whatever boxes. I know I've mentioned this so many times, you guys, but seriously with the empty boxes, I don't understand why we have to keep every empty box for everything we buy. I don't feel, they say like, you know, most of the people get their stuff at Costco. You don't need the box. Okay, well, if you think you're going to return it at Costco and you don't need the box, then throw away the box. Some of these boxes for these vacuums and all this stuff, it takes up half your house. That's just a thing of boxes. Like, what are you keeping the boxes for? I don't know. I don't understand it. But I guide you. I try to help you. And I try to make our lives easier. So that is my organizing tangent of just things that pop up. Moving, helping people move is something that I love doing. I love also setting up the house. When I pack, if I'm lucky enough to help with that, and then I set up their house, like this client that I was helping, or have been helping, she went from, I mean, her house was fine. It was just a normal, you know, 4-bedroom, 2.5 bath house. And or two bath house, but the kitchen was so small. And it's funny, it doesn't even matter that their kitchen was on the smaller end. They are actually a family that cooks. So you see sometimes these massive kitchens that are size of a house and nobody cooks. They either get their food delivered or they, you know, whatever, do takeout or whatever they do. But usually they have like meal service and, you know, have it ready to go. They actually cook. They had no space. This kitchen that they just moved into, when I saw it, I almost cried for them because how many times did I help them in their kitchen? And I was like just moving 40 things to get to one thing. And this one is at least 3 times the size. So they definitely have the space. But just being mindful of all of the things I try to help with you're packing, you're moving, setting up. I put post-its on your areas when you're not there because a lot of people don't want to be there. And honestly, I do go faster when nobody's there because I'm just listening to music and I love to talk. But sometimes I'm trying to also, you know, not waste your money and time. So just, I get it done and then I put post-its to let them know where everything is. They're more than welcome to change it. They can change whatever they want. I'm not married to it. My feelings aren't hurt. But I just, you know, I try to make it easy for you and make it make sense for everybody. So that is my organizing 101, I don't know, tutorial today. I am going to, next time I talk about organizing, I'm going to talk about, I don't even know what I'm going to talk about, Robert. Next time I'm going to talk about something. I'm going to talk about something organizing, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's where we're at. So I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but I will talk about something. I will talk about whatever. And I'm going to say thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate those who listen. I want everybody to be my number one subscriber. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please let me know. And please don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow to get the latest notifications when an episode drops. Thank you. Talk to you soon. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind the scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.